The Bible says in 2 Corinthians, chapter number 3, verse 17, "Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." Where the Spirit of the Lord is, right there is liberty. I feel Him here right here tonight, don't you? So if we say that the Lord is here, there's also a liberty here. Amen? But some things you must realize, there are some things we just have to reach out and take a hold of. Amen? The Bible says the kingdom of God suffereth violence. But what do the violent do? They take it by force. So I say there's liberty here tonight, but we must reach out and take it. Brother Darius already told brother that preached earlier to come up and take his liberty. I want to preach to you tonight. You need to take your liberty. Amen. Would you lift your hands one more time? I know we've prayed. I need the anointing. I need God to help me. Lift your hands one more time. Oh God, we need you, Jesus, right now. We need your power. We need your anointing. We'll not preach unless you come into this house and anoint us. God will not fail to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. Move tonight in the main service. And the church says, amen. Liberty is the condition of being not subject to restriction or control. I like this one. The right to act in a manner of one's own choosing. The state of not being in confinement or servitude. I believe if we would look tonight, we could agree that every country in America has one, or in the world, has one thing in common, and that is a great desire for liberty. You can read that there are many countries in this world that are in a great state of depression, all because they do not have liberty. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for America, aren't you? I'm thankful for the United States of America. I'm thankful for men that fought for our liberty, aren't you? One of the proudest moments of my life was when my papa passed away. He had fought in the military, so the soldiers came to his funeral. They put the flag over his casket, and while they were carrying him out, they lifted the rifles and gave him a rifle salute. That meant a lot to me because he'd served his country, and he'd fought for the liberty that we have. I say thank God for America, don't you? We erected that great statue of liberty all to show that this country is a country of liberty. The Liberty Bell rings aloud, proclaiming our country's liberty. If you look at the pledge of the United States, it says, "I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, with indivisible, with what? With liberty and justice for all." But that's not the only flag I want to look at, for there's another flag called that Christian flag. Let's look at what it says. It says, "I pledge allegiance to the Christian flag and to the Savior for whose kingdom it stands. One Savior crucified, risen, and coming again with what? With life and liberty for all who believe." I say two different pledges, two different flags. It's two different meanings. But what does it have in common? It has that word liberty. You know why? Because socially or spiritually, liberty is a necessity. Amen? Whether it be socially or whether it be spiritually, we gotta have liberty. Just as important as liberty is in our country, it's even more so important right here in our church house. We gotta have liberty in our song service. We gotta have liberty in our offering, liberty in our testimonies, liberty in the singing, liberty in the preaching, in the prayer request. We gotta have liberty right here at the altar. I say we gotta have liberty. Hallelujah. You believe that? There's a few things we could preach spiritually about that word liberty. That's what I'd like to do tonight. I'd like to look at it from a few different angles. I didn't come to preach harsh to you tonight, but there's a few things we could look at. Number one, I feel like we could look and say that in the church, there is a lack of liberty. You believe that? Some churches you can come to, the United States gives us the privilege to come to church, but sometimes it seems like we just can't get in and have church. Amen. We got the liberty to come in and lift our hands and shout glory to God. But sometimes we come in and never raise our hands. We never praise God. We never get a hold of His power. I say there is a lack of liberty. You look through history, and if you read, it'll tell you that right after the Civil War was fought, there were some who had not heard that the war was over and that their freedom was won. There were some who never heard, never got word of the Emancipation Proclamation. So they tell me that deep south, there were some slaves who worked up to 4 years after the war was already over and their freedom was won. They say some worked 4 years not knowing that they had their liberty. Why? All because they did not know. I come to preach tonight that over 2,000 years ago, Jesus fought a battle on a hill called Calvary. You know that? Jesus bled and died on a cross also that we could have liberty. But sometimes it seems like we come into church and it's almost like we don't know that we've got our liberty. We don't know that Jesus went to a cross, and if you are redeemed by the blood, you have liberty. You know what the Bible says? It says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You know what that word say means? It means to open your mouth and proclaim it. I say, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. That means I'm redeemed so I can open my mouth and say glory to God. I can open my mouth and say praise the Lord. I can say rejoice in the Lord. Hallelujah. There's a lack of liberty. But not only could we look at that and say there's a lack, but we could also look and say there is a loss of liberty. One of the saddest things that you will ever see is someone that's had liberty before, but for some reason or another has lost it. One of the saddest things you'll ever be in is a church that has had that liberty before, but for some reason or another, they have lost the liberty in the church house. I don't know what it is. Maybe some neglect the Bible. Maybe some neglect their prayer life. But for some reason or another, they have lost their liberty. You know, the United States got close one time, but we read in history, and history tells us on March 23rd, 1775, a man by the name of Patrick Henry stepped up right in the middle of that revolution. He stood before the president and all the members of Continental Congress at St. John's Church in Richmond. You know what Patrick Henry said? He said, I do not know the course that others will take, but give me liberty or give me death. You know why Patrick Henry said that? I believe because he realized that without liberty, there is death. Amen. I feel like that's the way it is in the church house. When you neglect liberty, your experience with God will die. Your word of God will die to you. You will neglect everything that God's taught you when you neglect that liberty. Hallelujah. But you know, right in the middle of preaching on a loss of liberty, right in the middle of preaching on that lack of liberty, you know what else we could preach? This is why I come to preach tonight. I come to preach to you that there is a Lord of liberty. Amen. You read through the Bible, and even still in this hour today, everywhere the devil goes, he wants to bring bondage. But everywhere God goes, he wants to bring a liberty. Amen. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there right there, right in that spot, there is liberty. You read in Luke chapter number 13, and the Bible says there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity for 18 years. You read that woman come walking into the synagogue. The Bible says she was bowed over. She couldn't stand up straight. But what happens? Jesus sees that woman coming, and he points and he says, "Woman, thou art loosed." I say he's the Lord of liberty, don't you? He walked over to that woman. The Bible says he laid his hands on her, and immediately she stood up straight. I come to preach to a young person. You may be bound, but you can leave this service standing for God. You can leave standing with liberty. Amen. You read in John chapter number 11. You read that Jesus receives word that Lazarus has died. But I like what he tells his disciples. He said, "Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may wake him out of sleep." I believe some people in here have let your experience with God drift away. You've let it fall asleep. But Jesus, just like Eutychus, can wake you up out of a deep sleep. You believe that? Jesus steps on the scene, and the Bible says Martha comes out and says, "If you'd have been here, our brother Lazarus wouldn't have died." What does Jesus say? He says, "Your brother shall rise again." Oh, Martha scratches her head and says, "Sure, Lord. My brother will rise up in the resurrection." But what does Jesus turn back and say? He says, "I am the resurrection and the life. And he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." I say he's a Lord of liberty. He tells them, "Roll away that stone." So they roll the stone away. Jesus looks in and he says, "Lazarus, come forth." The Bible says, Lazarus come walking out of the tomb. I say he is still in the resurrecting business right here tonight. You believe that? I say though your experience with God may have died, I say Jesus can raise it from the dead. That's a great miracle right there. You believe it? That's a great miracle. One of the greatest ever performed in all the Bible. What greater can you do but raise a person up from the dead? But I like Jesus because he wasn't content with one of the greatest miracles in all the Bible. Jesus looks at old Lazarus and he is still bound by the grave clothes. Jesus looks and Lazarus has still got the trappings of the tomb all over him. So Jesus looks and says, "Loose that man and let him go." I say he is a Lord of liberty. You believe that? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Perhaps one of my favorite stories in all the Bible is in Daniel chapter number 3. You read that those three Hebrew boys wouldn't bow down to King Nebuchadnezzar. So what does he do? He says, "Cast them into that fiery furnace." So those three Hebrew boys get cast into that hot furnace. The king looks up and says, "I want to go survey the damage. I want to go see what's happened." So the king walks over, and the Bible says he was astonished. It says he rose up in haste. And look what he says. He says, "Did we not cast three men into the fire bound?" Weren't there three? And weren't they all bound? The soldiers look back and say, "True, O king, three in, all three were bound." But I like what the old king says in Daniel 3:25. He says, "Lo, I see four men now." And what? They're loose. They're loose. They're walking in the midst of the fire. He says, "They have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." I come to preach that not only will God loose you in the fire, I say he'll walk through it with you. That thing that's got you down, Jesus will walk right through it with you. I say you may be bound by alcohol. You may be bound by cigarettes. I don't know what you're bound by, but I know a Lord that can give you liberty. Glory to God. Galatians 5:1 says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made you free. Has He made anybody free tonight? Hasn't He made you free? But look what else it says. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. How many of you have ever read what the anointing does to that yoke? Some people come to our church. Some preachers come to our church in Taylor Mill. And they quote that scripture wrong. They say that the anointing breaks the yoke. But I grew up with two brothers. There was three of us boys running around. So I learned something quick. If something can be broke, you can put it back together. Amen. If something can be broke, somehow you can put that thing back together. So what does the anointing do? And the anointing doesn't leave any provision for the devil to come up and pick the pieces up of your problem and put it back together. But my Bible says the anointing steps in and destroys the yoke. Amen. Your problem that's got you down so many times, you know why? Because you've only broke that problem. I say what you need to do is get a hold of God and let the Lord destroy the yoke. Whatever it is that's got you down, we fall to the same temptations over and over because we're trying to do it by ourselves. But I say we need to get a hold of the anointing and let the anointing break or destroy the yoke. Isaiah 61:1 says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. Aren't you glad He's still anointing preachers in this hour to preach good tidings unto the meek? I say we need more anointing in this hour. He says, He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. I come to tell someone, if you come with a broken heart tonight, God can bind it up. You believe that? Come to bind the brokenhearted. I like this part. The Lord has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives. That's what I feel like the Lord wanted me to do tonight. I feel like He sent me to proclaim liberty to some captives. What else does He say? He says, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. I believe He'd like to open some prisons and loose some people. What does that remind you of? That reminds me of old Paul and Silas. You read about Paul and Silas, and they're in the prison house, and the Bible says, at the midnight hour, at the hour when they should have been weakest, at the hour when they should have had no strength at all, the Bible says they started singing a song, and the Lord came in. Sometimes we say that the Lord came in, and then they started singing a song of praise. But no, no, no. They started singing a song of praise, and then the Lord came in and broke the chains, opened the jail cell. Why? I heard some brother say the devil didn't make his problem when he put Paul and Silas in the jail cell. He didn't make his problem when he locked them up, when he beat them, when he put the chains on them. But you know what? When the devil made his mistake was when he put old Paul and Silas right there in the same cell. Because they started singing a song of praise, and my Bible still reads that where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. I'll tell you what, I'd like to get God in the midst of this house tonight. I believe He'd like to move. I believe He'd like to work. I believe He'd like to set some folks free. Right here at Dryden Road. Would you lift your hands all over the house? We got better preaching coming up, I promise you. We want the Lord. He's the Lord of liberty. We'd like Him to come in and bless.